Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My Jesus. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Yeah, good morning, all. And a hearty welcome to church this morning, and special welcome to our guest, and may you all have a great Sunday with us, and also join us for coffee at the end of the service down the hall to the left. Also, Pastor Schwartz, thank you for coming here this morning, and also welcome. And I see you're from Good News Church in London, so hopefully you'll have good news for us, but especially in the sermon, God is trustworthy. That sounds like good news right there. Also, shall we open up a silent prayer this morning?
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
This morning, our call to worship, I would like to use Isaiah chapter 55, and I would like to start at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he is freely pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that sort of reminds us, as we live our life the best we can, we should continue to seek the Lord without delay, or our opportunity will be passed. Anyway, our gathering songs this morning, I guess the first one is Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing.
Alleluia, alleluia.
O burning sun with golden beam, and shining moon with silver gleam. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Those four so masterful and bright, both guiding us with warmth and light. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Take your part, sing praise to God with all your heart. Alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship Him in lowliness. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
And God is so delighted when we come to praise Him. And so He comes to us with words of welcome like this. Listen to what the Lord says. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and still I maintain my unfailing love toward you, for I have become a father to you, and you are my firstborn child. Amen. And as the Lord has greeted us, let's take a moment and greet one another.
Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, joy, my crown. Fair are the meadows, fair are the woodlands, robed in flowers of blooming spring. Jesus is fair. Our soaring spirits sing. Fair is the sunshine, fair is the moonlight, bright the sparkling stars on high. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the sky. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son.
We have such a beautiful Savior who is so full of love. And when he came on this earth, he told us that the two greatest commandments were to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we come to this time in the service not because God is coming with his wrath, but because to be in right relationship with him, we need to come clean so he can draw near to us and purify us and make us beautiful like he is beautiful. So please let us pray our confession. O God, our heavenly creator, we confess that we have lost our way. Too easily we are distracted from what really matters. In our better moments, we recognize that life is better than death, and love is superior to hate. Yet far too often, in the heat of the moment, we lose our heads. And perhaps worse, we lose our hearts. We do things and say things that betray our lack of faith, and perhaps even our lack of emotional control. We each strive to control our life. We strive to make a name for ourselves. We make every effort to protect our loved ones and ourselves. We are well-meaning, Lord, but sometimes we choose paths that lead us away from you. So today, we acknowledge our sin and confess our shortcomings. And with humility, we ask you to help us strive for the greater gifts and to show us a still more excellent way. We want to be your people, but we are sometimes afraid of your demands. Our fears run deep, and we cannot overcome them by ourselves. You know, O Lord, that we've tried. Remind us once again that the beginning of wisdom is to trust your holiness. Help us cling to this trust and live with the faith that you will provide for us. As we worship you in deep conviction, speak the words of comfort and hope to us once again. Empower us with the Holy Spirit that we may say with the gospel writer, "I believe, help my unbelief." Amen. Hear these comforting words. If you repent and believe in God's redeeming mercy, your sins are forgiven. Trust in God's promises and begin anew your life with God and all his people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please rise as we sing this next song.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. is my joy to honor you in all I do.
Come up, all the kids can come up and we'll do the children's message. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are you all? Hi, Paisley. Everybody's good? A little bit tired? Can anybody tell me what they think is in this bowl? What's in there?
Snow?
How do you know?
Snow is white.
It is white. All right. Does anybody want to touch the snow? What are some things that we can do with snow, even though we haven't had a lot of it this year? Sawyer, what can we do with the snow? Make some snowmen. What else can we make? Ezra, what can we make? What would you like to make with the snow?
I'd like to make a snowman.
You like to make a snowman? What else? Yeah, what can we make, Asher?
Snowballs.
Snowballs. Anybody else?
Shoes, too.
And yeah, we could. We could make some snow angels or a really big snow fort. So what does this snow look like right now? What does it look like? Just plain white. Hey, but what if I took a magnifying glass or a microscope? What would it look like then?
Then you could see the snowflakes.
I could see all. I'm not going
to
go to your house. Okay. But if I looked under a microscope, then I could see all the different snowflakes. And what would they look like? What do the snowflakes look like? You know what? Eve is even wearing snowflake earrings right now, so we could even see what they would look like. But would they be different or all the same? What would they look like?
They would look all different.
All very different, right? Yeah, there's snowflakes on the windows too. And all the snowflakes would look so very different. But we need all of those snowflakes to make something cool, like a snow fort or a snow angel or a snowman, right? And just like all these little snowflakes that are all so different, you guys are all so different. One, you look all different, right? We have blonde hair and brown hair. Some people have some red hair. We all look different. We have some different skin colors, right? But we can all be so different, and we all can have different things that we can do differently. Some people are really good at reading or coloring, or some are good at different sports. And so we can all be very different, but when we all come together, we are all, just like the snow can make a snowman, we can all be believers of Jesus, and we can all work together to make his kingdom great. So right now, we are going to sing a song just to learn about how special we all are. We're going to sing, If I Were a Butterfly. And I know you guys know the actions, so can you guys stand up to do the actions? I'll do it with you, okay? I know, I like that one too. All right. I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And if I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and I'd wiggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. 'Cause you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. All right, everybody can go back for Sunday school.
Such cuties, eh? Official greetings from Good News Church, your sister church, and they know well. I was just thinking, some people were asking me how long I've been at Good News, and I've been there this February, 8 years. But they remember well what it was like not to have a pastor. And so strength to you in this time of discernment, and trust that the Lord will provide someone for you. So before we go to scripture, I invite you into a prayer. O holy God, we thank you in this season of Epiphany that you send Jesus, the light of the world. We're told in the Gospel of John that he was also the Word, your Word, made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here now, hovering over us and in us. And so we pray that the word we read today may point us to the light and the word who is Jesus. We pray this all in your name. Amen. And just before I turn to the scripture reading, just want you to know that this sermon came out of a series that I did this fall based on the book Good and Beautiful God by James Bryan Smith. So if in this new year you're thinking to yourself, I'd like to read a book that will really help me think about and reflect on the beauty and goodness of God, I highly recommend it. It also has disciplines and practices at the end of each chapter that you can incorporate in your life. So if you're looking for that, it's just a great book. With that, let us turn to Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. A story of a father, a son, and a sacrifice. He is delighted by his son, his only son, his beloved son. Although he loved the snuggly state of his baby and toddler years and the curiosity and wide-eyed innocence of his childhood, he thinks to himself that this is his favorite stage yet, watching his boy turning into a man. In this past year, upon turning 15, his boy has sprouted like the quick desert flowers after a sudden downpour. He sees his wife in him through the rich brown almond-shaped eyes and long, lush eyelashes. But it's the chiseled cheekbones emerging and the long, sinewy body that makes him a dead giveaway as his son, Abraham's son, Isaac. Usually chipper and talkative, that too was from Sarah's side of the family. These past 3 days had been shrouded in an intimate yet somber silence. Even the two servants who had come with them keep their voices low. It has been a meditative, prayerful journey, with the donkey's steady clip-clop, clip-clop, acting as the rhythmic backdrop while they walk the stony road to Mount Moriah. After this third night of making camp, he and Isaac wake in the dark early hours just before dawn. The servants are already up, indicated by the whiffs of smoke and cooking food. Isaac trots over to the fireside, opening up a camel hair satchel resting on the ground. He takes out a round piece of flatbread, handing it to his father, who has just arrived. Isaac takes a second piece from the bag for himself. Neither sit down, rather they walk to and squat over a steaming bowl of beans and goat meat, dipping their bread in turns to scoop up mouthfuls. One of the servants offers a clay cup in which he pours water from a goat skin bag. The sound of the water gurgles as it splashes into the cup. First, Abraham stands to take the cup and drinks. He passes it down to Isaac. Have the rest. We'll take our own water bags for the remainder of the journey. We must go. He watches Isaac turn to pick up the bundle of wood, sticks knocking, squeaking, wrapped together and bound by cloth. With what little effort, Abraham thinks, that Isaac carries the wood on his back. So muscular and nimble, hints of the strong, able-bodied man he will become. Yes, he will become. For Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac is the miracle from God, the living sign of the covenant. He will be the chosen one to carry on the line of descendants who will be as numerous as sand on the seashore and stars in the sky. So God has spoken, so shall it be. Yet this journey, he is to take his son, his only son, up the mountainside to the high place, the holy altar. Isaac is to be the sacrifice. Yes, this doesn't make sense. Yes, his heart is heavy. And as he has done these past few days, he begins again in his mind, reciting the story of God's call upon his life. How each step of the way God is faithful and true. How God meets him and speaks with Abraham. And even during the times of Abraham's failure, God's mercy to him and to Sarah. God has been faithful and true. He will again be faithful and true. So he and his son continue the steep climb to the top as dawn breaks over the horizon. And once Abraham gets through his mental storytelling of God and his call on Abraham's life to this present moment, Abraham begins telling himself the story again. Papa, Isaac's voice breaks his father's reverie. Yes, my son, Abraham replies. I'm carrying the wood and you're carrying the fire, but where is the lamb for the offering? God himself will see to a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And somehow, Abraham knows this will be true, however God sees fit. They reach the peak upon which an altar is already built. This is a holy place, a thin space between heaven and earth. The sun has broken the darkness. Day is full upon them. After stacking the wood on the altar, stick by stick, and gently placing the fire pot at the altar's stone base, Abraham turns to Isaac directly. He tenderly grabs Isaac and pulls him into an enveloping embrace. He lets him go, but he clenches Isaac's shoulders, looking at him full in the face. Tears course down Abraham's face as he explains that he must place Isaac on the altar, for God has spoken. He reminds Isaac that God is faithful and true. And even in this demanding command, somehow this will not be the story's end. And Isaac, with a calmness beyond his years, props himself up on the altar in the middle of the sticks, allowing his father to bind him. He too begins to cry silently. Abraham bends down to unsheath the silver-bladed knife strapped to his outer right calf. The sun is high in the sky, and the sweat from his forehead mingles with the tears coming down his face. He blinks the salty sting from his eyes, for he must see clearly for this most heinous of tasks. I love you, my son, my beloved son. Isaac stares up with his big brown eyes, a look mixed with love, trust, and fear. Abraham places his left hand to cover Isaac's eyes and to pull his head back to reveal his neck. Then he stretches up his right hand, blade glinting in the sun, takes a deep breath. Abraham! Abraham! What is this voice? Rumbling like thunder from above. He stops, arms still poised above his son. Here I am, he cries. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. The voice stops. Time stands still. Abraham stands, arm still taut, stunned. Papa, whispers Isaac, who was that? Papa, it's finished. As Abraham releases his arm, he shakes his head in disbelief, and something wriggling catches his eye. Look, a ram, Isaac, as Abraham unties Isaac from the altar. There, caught in the bushes, God has seen to the sacrifice. God has provided. This place shall be called God Has Provided. Sometime later, two figures are seen gambling down the mountainside, laughter echoing off the rocks. Isaac, in his youthful zeal, quickly gains ground ahead of Abraham. But Abraham doesn't mind. His son is alive. The promised one will fulfill the covenant. God is faithful and true. How can we be like Abraham with that kind of faith and trust? This is impossible, right? How can we be so sure of God as Abraham was at that moment? Well, let me tell you another story of a father, a son, and a sacrifice. He was delighted by his son, his only son, his beloved son. Although he loved to watch the snuggly stage of his baby and toddler years, and the curiosity and wide-eyed innocence of his childhood, he thinks to himself that this is his favorite stage yet, watching his son launch his true mission, the mission of his father. He sees his mother in his son through an easy smile and the wild curly hair. But it's the compassion for the outcasts, the fullness of grace and truth, and the zeal for the kingdom come that makes him a dead giveaway as his son, God's son, Jesus. He bursts with joy uncontained at Jesus' baptism. The Spirit wanted in on the blessing and made an appearance as the dove. Jesus would know. Jesus needs to know that no matter what, no matter what comes his way, he is the beloved son in whom his father finds absolute delight. And in a rare moment, unable to contain it, God spoke his love for Jesus out loud for all who were present to hear. These past 3 years went fast. So many differing opinions about his son, about his true identity. Such love from those who have received his healing touch, his generous compassion, his merciful forgiveness, and yet such deep hatred ignited in the religious leaders. His son is nothing they expected and nothing they want. He is a threat, filling them with murderous rage. It is now time for Jesus to walk up to the Temple Mount, to Jerusalem, the holy space, the thin space between heaven and earth. After a week in Jerusalem with the start of Passover, his son celebrates with his band of 12. Night is descending as they make their way into the upper room. Servants have set out the meal. As all sit down on the mats lined around the low table, Jesus takes a round piece of flatbread from the pile set on one of the serving plates. "This is my body broken for you." The disciples wince and quickly commence passing the rest of the food for the feast. The rest of the meal goes as tradition dictates, as they remember the radical exodus from Egypt when the lamb's blood as the doormark to save the firstborn son. Then he takes up a clay cup in which he pours wine from a stone pitcher. The sound of the wine gurgles as it splashes into the cup. He lifts up the cup saying, "This is my blood shed for you." He takes a sip, then passes it, indicating that they each should take a drink. Soon after, they walk to the Mount of Olives. His beloved son sets out alone. "Papa, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not what I want, but what you want, your will be done." It pains him to see the sweat turn to blood as it runs down the face of his son, his only son, and so resumes the slow, excruciating movement to the sacrifice demanded. His son's body, once strong from his carpentry work, and then lean and sinewy from the years of walking the countryside, preaching and teaching, now pulverized by hatred and evil. God watches Jesus turn to pick up the cross of wood on his bloody broken back, the beam knocking, scraping the ground as he vainly attempts to pull it forward. With so much effort and agony, he thinks, Jesus is made to carry the wood for his own sacrifice on his back. Jesus is the Son of promise. Jesus is the miracle from God, the ultimate fulfillment of the covenant that his child, Israel, couldn't keep. God become man in the flesh, the very living word of God. So God has spoken, so shall it be. Yet this journey, he is to allow his son to be taken out of the city gates, away from the holy place, to a location of derision and shame, to be made a humiliating, defeated example to all who will see. Yes, his heart is heavy. Yes, this doesn't look like it makes sense. Yes, this was always the plan, always a necessary part of the story. Another takes the cross the rest of the way to Golgotha. After placing the wooden beam flat on the ground, the soldiers lay his son, his broken, bleeding son, on top. Tears course down Jesus' face as he is placed on this cross. And Jesus, with a calmness of purpose, surrenders to the soldiers, allowing them to hammer nails into his hands and feet, binding him to the wood. The day turns dark, even though it is midday. The Father must display the true darkness of humanity's rebellion that has brought him and his son to this moment of unfathomable evil. Jesus stares up to his Father, a look mixed with love, trust, and fear. Papa, into your hands, I commit my spirit. It is finished. A centurion arrives with a long spear in hand. In the shadows of that strange dark day, he pierces the dull silver point into his son's side. Blood and water flow. Then silence. The Father's own thunderous voice silenced for 3 days of darkness and death. How trustworthy is God? The triune God, willingly becoming human in Jesus, willingly offering up his own son, his beloved son, as the Lamb. For all humanity, God sees to it that he be the Lamb, and no other sacrifice is necessary ever. But friends, the story doesn't stop there. God's faithfulness is to death and then beyond. What joy it must have been for him to raise his son, his beloved son, out of darkness and silence. What eternal light and life bursting the bonds of death and sin. Why? So that all his children, his beloved, go free. That none remain bound and sacrificed to sin. To witness the glory of his son's resurrection body, no longer broken, but radiating with true life, the life. And yet, still the scars, marks of a love that can be trusted and never waver. A father's love that can be trusted even when relationships crumble. A father's love that can be trusted even when abandonment and loneliness crush hearts. A father's love that can be trusted even when a loved one's life is cut too short. A father's love that can be trusted even when life feels like it's swirling out of control. A father's love that can be trusted even when hope feels like evaporating vapor. A father's love that can be trusted even when prayers seem to bounce back off the ceiling. Friends, when trust is wavering and faith feels fleeting, remembering the many ways God has shown up, retelling the personal stories of blessing and care, and relocating ourselves into the bigger, glorious story. Remembering, retelling, relocating. And the end of the story? Father and Son with the Spirit? Well, they're making home for us. God will bring home to us. For we too are his beloved children. Nothing will compare to the love and glory still to come. the glory of and love of a God that spared nothing for us, not even himself, his beloved son. God is trustworthy. And all God's people say,
crosses come in trying days, trust then in God's unchanging love, build on the rock that will not move, only be still and wait his pleasure, in cheerful hope with heart content. Fills your needs to fullest measure with what discerning love has sent. Doubt not our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own.
Sing, pray, and keep God's ways unswerving.
Offer your service faithfully. Trust heaven's word, though undeserving. You'll find God's promise true to be. This is our confidence indeed. God never fails in time.
Good morning. We now have time for our congregational prayer, and before I do pray, you have opportunity to make announcements or share with us any joys or concerns that you might have. Are there any? Yes, Diana. I'll just repeat that. I was also going to make an announcement, but Diane Emott's mom passed away this morning early in the morning. As Diana said, and I'll repeat, is that visitation is on Tuesday from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9, and the funeral's on Wednesday. I didn't catch the time for that, Diana. 11. And where is that again? Okay, check with Diana if you need that repeated, okay? Any other announcements or prayer concerns? Yes, Richard?
I think we ought to be thankful that our government was quick and brave to act in the face of the Saudi teenager who was seeking asylum after she renounced Islam.
Okay, thank you. Nathan?
Yeah, good. Some of you may know already, but now you will all know an answer to prayer. And finally, we have our building permits for the church. So thanks be to God for that, and special thanks for Derek for being very persistent, which has helped things along. So as the building committee will meet fairly shortly and then lay out timelines and a strategy of how this is going to go about. But we will see more activity going on in the church now. So thanks be to God.
Yes, Darlene. He's doing disaster relief there, and some of you know about the hurricane and the floods and all of that that happened there quite a while ago now, and they're still cleaning up. So, John Pipple in Puerto Rico. Okay, we embarrassed Derek once again. He doesn't want his name used, so don't anybody thank him anymore. Okay, shall we come to our God in prayer? Lord of the star fields, Ancient of Days, Universe Maker, this is a prayer in your praise. We praise you for the beauty of your world, for the sun coming up a bit earlier every morning, for the phases of the moon and the stars, for the beautiful carpet of white snow, for the clean water we can access at the turn of a tap. May we learn better to respect and care for your world. Thank you very much, Lord, for Pastor Wilhelmina sharing with us this morning your word. And we praise you for the examples of Abraham and most of all Jesus, who showed in their lives and in events, and of course in Jesus in his death, how much they trusted you, Father, and how much faith they had on you. And it's because of that, of course, that we can live in hope every day. Help us as your people to be examples of that kind of faith and trust. We thank you for our church here and our faith community, that we can freely assemble to worship you, that all these children could come forward this morning again, and some of them, there are even more, and we praise you for them. And the innocent anticipation of what you have in store for them, their eagerness. We thank you that there are so many groups and committees all seeking to be your hands and feet here in our church and to the broader community. We thank you that we finally have a building permit. Please bless the efforts of all those involved that the work can progress smoothly from here on. May we all be patient with the inevitable glitches that will happen. We thank you for those who can celebrate birthdays this coming week, especially for Kobe, and we pray, Lord, that she can find medication so that she can enjoy her birthday today more, better. We also thank you for the fact that Donna and Chloe and Andrea can celebrate birthdays, and we praise you for the gift of time and experience that they can have. We also bring to you, Lord, issues, people who are suffering and who are grieving. In particular, of course, our hearts break for Diane, who lost her mom last night. And we pray that you'll surround her with your love and support. And we pray for all of her family this coming week as they grieve, as they miss their mom and relative. We also, Lord, ask you to continue to be with Richard and Tina and the rest of the Portinga family, as we know that they buried a beloved brother this past week. Be close to them. Continue to bless them. We pray, Lord, for so many refugees and people living in various countries that are enduring all kinds of oppression. And in particular, we've heard this week about this girl from Saudi Arabia who had to escape, who felt she had to escape, and we thank you that our government has taken initiative to take her in. Please bless all others who are struggling. We think of our own family of refugees. We thank you for how well it's gone. And we pray, Lord, for the brothers of Afaf, who hopefully can come to Canada very soon. We also pray for our pastor search committee, as it faces the challenging task of finding an appropriate pastor for our congregation? And would you bless the communication that that committee is having with our suggested candidate? And in the meantime, for all those who have stepped up and have filled in tasks that need to be done in the absence of a pastor. We pray for those who give us leadership in all kinds of ways, for our governments and both locally and also nationally. We pray, Lord, for a world that seems to be in turmoil on various levels, politically, in terms of human rights, and economically. We think of all the trade discussions that are going on. And we pray, Lord, that we will, as your people all around the world, find ways to live together in peace and harmony and share what we have. Bless our students at all levels. And those who are going to university and college or starting a new semester, please bless their new semester and the adjustments they have to make to their new courses. We pray for our high school students who are wrapping up their semester and preparing for exams. And all our children, Lord, who are experiencing education in various ways, would you bless them so that they will come to know and recognize you as their Lord and Savior in all areas of their lives and in all subjects. Would you bless the nursing home services today and all of those who participate in those? Again, Lord, thank you for being there always, for being our Father, for the knowledge that we have that we can trust you all the time. And so please help us to bring, continually to bring our concerns and our joys to you in our relationship to you. Thank you for this service again this morning, and we pray a blessing as we continue to live our lives out in the coming week in praise and thanksgiving and service to you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You now have opportunity to present your collections, your alms to this church, to the ministries of this church, which is the first collection and also classical and denominational ministry shares. And the second offering is for the Sardar family's ministry in India.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we us, falling before your hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, thank you for all the gifts that we receive. Thank you for the gifts of our local church. And thank you for the gifts that we receive for the Sada family, God. Pray that you bless it to further the work of your gospel. And bless them also, God. Be with us in your name, I pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith with Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 26. I'll read the question and together let us say the answer. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Receive this blessing. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and through whom we come to know the Father. He is faithful and true. And may the blessing of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit go with you as you leave this place. And all God's people say,